This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Michael Sacca.
I'm Joelle Steiniger.
And I'm Matt Goldman.
And we're having 20-minute talks with entrepreneurs teaching you how to launch your product into revenue.
Check out our book at howtobuildarocketship.com to reserve your launch discount and to download a free chapter.
Today on the podcast, we talked with Kat Noon, co-founder and lead designer of Liberio. And she talked with us about leaving the Valley to build a startup in Berlin, which is a really interesting story. And she also talked about networking just for the sake of networking, not just to get that immediate sale.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. We're here with Kat Noon, the founder or the co-founder of Liberio. Kat, welcome.
Hey, thanks.
So why don't you give us a quick overview of what Liberio is?
Sure. Liberio is a platform for simple ebook creation and publishing right from Google Drive.
Perfect. So you actually, to start this, you moved across the world away from Silicon Valley. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's not really the norm once you are in the Valley. I was in the Valley. I was working for Prolific Interactive, a mobile design agency, building the group of designers and team out there. And when it came to meeting my significant other, our relationship continued to grow, and we were deciding whether or not he would come to the States or whether or not I would come to Berlin. And I said, you know what, I need a break from the Valley. it's bittersweet because I absolutely love it. And there's nothing comparable to being able to walk to the beach and the beautiful weather and just the valley scene. You know, there was an event every night. Practically, I felt like I was paying a lot of money for an apartment that I was never in. But I needed a break. It was super fast paced, and I felt like I was going to burn out rather quickly. So Ben and I said, you know what, screw it, I'll come to Berlin. It was a place that I'd never been before, and I needed that change of pace. So I said, yeah, let's do it.
So you have kind of described Berlin as a break or kind of slowing down a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the startup scene there and what's going on.
There's a ton going on out here. Obviously, when people talk about startups, we automatically default to the Valley. But there's so much going on in Berlin. There are so many fantastic companies that are sprouting up left and right. But yes, it's much more slow paced here, just in the overall lifestyle, which is nice.
So is there a language barrier for you, or do people pretty much speak English?
It's a very rare occasion when a barrier comes into place for me, because practically almost everyone speaks English. Even if it's not their first language, if I were to ask them a question or something, they could totally switch. No problem. But I am in the process of learning German, although it's a very slow process because it is a very difficult language. So, yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about the team behind Liberio. And like, you're a designer, and then your co-founder is, I believe, the engineer. So how did that come about?
I mean, for the team, it's just Nico and I right now. And yes, he is an engineer. He's always been in the tech industry, and actually previous to being in the tech industry, he was a lawyer, which is pretty funny. We cover a lot of areas. We're a one-stop shop.
That probably comes in handy.
Oh, super handy. You have no idea. I mean, once I came to Berlin, Ben introduced me to Nico. And he told me about Liberio, this idea he had. And we sat down and we discussed it, and we knew right off the bat it would be a fantastic team, and we could do damage together. When it came to me being a designer and him being an engineer, I mean, that's the core of a product right there. So we spoke about Liberio, the idea, the original idea that he had for it. We built on it. We threw ideas out there, and here we are.
So you guys are still in beta, I believe, right?
Yep, correct.
How are you getting users into the beta? How are people finding you?
So one thing that I realized, that I had an idea of it before, but I really realized it after we launched our private beta, is that the self-publishing community is fantastic. They are such a tight-knit bunch. And they just share and share and share. So once we first launched the private beta, I mean, we shared it mainly on Twitter, like just social networks. And it went from there.
Wow.
I also noticed that you've been doing a lot of blogging. Is that new territory for you? Has that brought in, you know, a lot of traffic to the site? Or is that just something that you do as an outlet?
A little bit of both. There are a few things if you see that are a bit more on the personal side, just I guess self-help posts that I like to do, just for to give back and also to put it out there, put it on paper for me. But then there's also these posts that I do and I am planning on doing that share my experiences, share the lessons or mistakes that I've made or things that I see that maybe can benefit other people. Definitely brings in traffic. I've noticed that, which is great. I'll continue to do that. It's something that I enjoy doing. I unfortunately don't have a ton of time for it.
That's always the problem.
But I notice a lot of people just putting out, you know, the shorter blog posts, quick thoughts, and it works for them. But somehow I always end up just starting to type, and it ends up being humongous. And then I have to worry about cutting it down. It's just terrible. Yeah.
So your blog is awesome, by the way. The illustrations that you're doing, is that something that takes you a lot of time to put together?
The illustrations?
Yeah.
They're a bit time consuming.
Okay.
What I like to do is I don't know if you know about the app Paper by 53.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have the pencil, I have the app, and I doodle these illustrations, these ideas that I have for upcoming blog posts. So when it comes to actually creating it in Illustrator, I'm not there forever actually trying to think of an idea.
So you're sketching throughout the day and then kind of taking the best and finalizing it in Illustrator?
Yep. Yeah. Definitely not doing it every day and not nearly as much as I would like. But that's pretty much my process when it comes to the illustrations for Liberio.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And, backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
So what are you guys working on right now that will kind of take you to launch? What's your immediate roadmap?
So right now I'd say the feature or what's on our roadmap that will take us into launching for everyone is our cover and page layout editor. This was something that we briefly announced about a month ago in a future blog post. And what the cover and page layout editor does is allow you to fully customize your cover image and your page layout of your ebook, and also view it on tablet and mobile. So it covers everything that you can possibly need.
And you guys are publishing everywhere, right? Is it it's Amazon, it's iBooks. Are you guys handling the conversion there?
Yeah, we do the EPUB conversion. I mean, once you use Liberio, you create the document, the ebook, in Google Drive. You upload it onto Liberio or from Liberio. And you edit, you create your ebook. We handle everything on the back end. And from there, if you choose to do so, you can publish to Kindle, you can publish to Google Books, you can send it to social networks. Yeah.
So you guys have been in beta now for a couple months. Mm-hmm. How has that changed your roadmap and some of these features that you're building out, like the cover editor? Is that something you hadn't thought of that people started to ask for? Or were there other things that were on your list that ended up getting pushed to the back burner?
So we personally had ideas that got pushed to the back burner. But it's not something that we were down about. You know, ultimately, in the end, it's what will benefit our authors. And that's the
right.
That's the stance we take at all times. But we also make it a point to reach out to our authors quite often and talk to them, see what they're thinking, see what they need, talk to them about the problems that they're having when it comes to self-publishing and what they need from us.
What was the biggest problem that they were hitting?
The creation of the ebook.
Okay.
Yeah, the creation of the ebook, it's the biggest problem. It's still extremely, or I should say it was still extremely difficult to create and publish ebooks. Everyone I spoke to said it's exhausting because they need to use several apps to design their cover. They need to use multiple apps to actually convert the ebook. And at the end of it, it's still not a high quality ebook. It still doesn't look fantastic. It's not something that you would see in iBooks or see on Google Play Books and say, okay, that's going to be a fantastic book. And that's something as a self-publisher that you want and you need.
So what has been the most surprising kind of piece of feedback that you've gotten, or maybe a feature that was requested that you guys hadn't thought of?
That we hadn't thought of.
Like I know with us, with Brandesty, we started out marketing to agencies, and we thought agencies are the way into brands. And what we found was actually if we just go straight to the brand, it's a lot easier for us because they hold a lot more value on their own brand than an agency does. Yeah. So we spent like a month or two just trying to get in touch with agencies, and we finally talked to them. We were like, all right, this path is dead because they didn't have the same respect for the brand, I guess. So I was curious if you ran into anything similar. Or maybe it's actually been like you've just hit a huge pain point and you've got the people behind you and you guys are moving forward.
Yeah, so I think for us the pain point is what we solved. So I think a lot of people are just super grateful for that. But I think as we implement more features, there will be more things that are requested and you know, we'll discover new things. Because I know that there are things we haven't discovered yet. But that's part of the journey and that's the exciting part. And that's what we'll find out, by talking to more authors as they join.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys have self-funded this up until this point.
Yep.
And you're looking to raise a little capital. Can you talk about what kind of, influenced that decision for you guys?
Sure. For us, yeah, we've self-funded this up until now. And we know that we're capable of continuing to do that if we had to. But the problem is we now got to the point where we realized, okay, we need to be more efficient. We need to be fast. We need to be efficient. And in order to do that, we need more hands. So when it comes to funding, we need it for the hiring. It's super important. There are a lot of things that we want to work on, a lot of fantastic things that we want to provide for the authors, and we need more people to do that.
So are you mainly looking at hiring people to work on the product, engineers and designers, or are you looking at expanding into like a sales team to start getting out there on a bigger level?
The most important thing right now is hiring engineers and designers and people on the marketing end. Yeah.
So what's that been like going through that in Berlin versus what you'd seen the process like in San Francisco?
Are you referring to raising capital?
Yeah, starting to look for investment. Is it a whole different scene over there? Is it kind of similar to how it is here?
It's definitely different. One thing that I've realized is that raising in Europe is quite different from raising in the Valley. And that's just my take. It, you know, somebody else's opinion may be very different, but, I don't want to say it's easier because ultimately you need to have a solid product. You need to have something that someone obviously wants to invest in. But I think in the Valley, it's very easy to get flooded out because there are just so many startups there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Europe, or at least in Berlin, I can't speak for everywhere in Europe, it seems as though you have a bit of a more chance. You have, yeah, that was correct grammatically. you have more of a chance, it seems, when it comes to actually reaching out to VCs and having them, you know, actually set up an appointment with you.
You mentioned, you know, how many startups fail. And mm-hmm. I'm actually working on a post right now with my theory of why a lot of bootstrap companies fail. Mm-hmm. And I was just curious to hear what your theory is. Why is there like one thing that you think makes these companies fail? Is it a combination of things? Is it, you know, as simple as not finding a product market fit, or is it something deeper than that?
Oh, I definitely think it's a combination of things. For one, I think it's inexperienced founders. I think it's sometimes it's just the product just can't fit there. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to bootstrapping, I think if I had to advise someone, I would always say, if you can have a full-time job and work on this part-time, or a part-time job and work on this project or startup part-time for as long as possible, I'd do it. Mm-hmm. Because it's super exhausting, and you'd be surprised at how much shit you can get done, you know, part-time. Mm-hmm. But I think there's only, it gets to a point like we're at now, where there's only so much you can do so efficiently with X amount of hands. Mm-hmm. And you need to build, and you need to do it fast, and because timing is everything. So I think it's this combination of things where they're all going and they're trying to meet, and they just bypass each other, and they're all crossing over each other and never really just meeting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In terms of kind of growth, you've had success in the design industry. And
thank you. I appreciate that.
how has that made a difference in launching the product, kind of taking that reputation and launching? Do you feel like it's made a difference, or what's your impression there?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely have a long way to go. And personally, as a designer, I have a lot to learn and a lot to improve. But I spent a good deal of time networking. And I genuinely enjoy speaking to other people in the community, whether it's designers, whether it's engineers, or just you know, the marketing end of companies. And I do think it's benefited. I've seen quite a few people complain when people are self-promoting and sharing their startups, you know, blog posts or future features or press releases. And I can totally understand if they're swamming your feed 20 times per day. But you know, it's part of it. It's part of the game. And I definitely think it's benefited a ton, and I'm super grateful for it. I'm super grateful for everyone who actually pays attention to the shit that I put on the internet. So it's great.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a fine line there, and it sounds like your networking is exactly what we've been trying to kind of push people into, which is kind of the long tail networking. It's not networking to make a sale that day, but it's networking because you're interested in people, and eventually those relationships could become, you know, something beneficial, but it's okay if it doesn't. Is that kind of how you approach it?
Yeah. I mean, I genuinely enjoy, getting to know other people in the industry and learning from them. And I don't go into it saying, okay, let me see who I can follow, you know, how right. can I benefit right. from them? So no, I mean, I try to network with people who I know I can learn from, and who I see has experience, in some form of fashion. And it's worked out. I mean, you know, obviously not everybody, wants to chat it up, and that's okay. But they put stuff out on the internet, and they share their thoughts and their mistakes and their lessons, and that's where I learn. And if anything, that's the networking that happens, that, you know, that worked for me.
So who are you currently being influenced by, or who should we be paying attention to?
Oh, man. Actually, you know, this is probably good timing because they just launched their iOS 7 app today. But I really, really enjoy what Buffer is doing. The Buffer team is fantastic. So I don't want to say any one person in particular, because when you look at all of the products out there, those founders didn't get there on their own. That's a team behind them. So if I had to pick teams, I'd say, yeah, Buffer, Airbnb. I mean, I think it took them three times to launch before they actually got there, if I recall correctly. So to see them and where they are now is absolutely fantastic. There's so many. I can't even.
No, that's great. Buffer's definitely one of our favorites here too. Mm-hmm. Their content and it really everything that they do, they seem to do right. Yeah,
and they make it look so damn easy.
Yeah,
they're always friggin' happy. It's so great to see
right
because most of the people I see on my feed that gets retweeted or shared, they're just complaining about something, and everyone at Buffer is always so goddamn happy. It's great.
It's true. It's true. They're definitely doing something right.
Yeah, man.
So what is something that you would either do differently if you were starting again, or maybe even something that you're trying to improve moving forward that you've learned?
One thing that I try to do that I realize helps a ton is actually reach out to people in the same position that you're in, and learn from them. I think it's, you know, in the startup world, we see so many companies fail. Mm. And it's terrible because there are quite a few times where they're really great products and they don't make it. And I think if we had these mentors that kind of just helped us out, or, you know, if we popped a question in, you know, to them, they could just shoot one back and just be there to mentor, you know, it'd be great. And I think maybe we'd see quite a few more successes. And granted, you know, angel investors do that. They provide that. But maybe people who are just genuinely there to sit down and have a coffee or something, it'd be great, you know, because, I mean, obviously angels get something out of the deal.
Yeah, no, I agree. And a lot of people are open to it too. It's a lot of going out and doing it and making, reaching out and getting that connection. And it's not as scary as you think, right? I mean, people will respond. I think you've had success with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had to get past that fear of feeling like I would be rejected by whoever I reached out to, and just said, you know what, it's getting rejected is better than not trying at all or not reaching out to them at all and running the risk of not learning something potentially good.
Yeah.
You know, this is new to me too. I mean, I've been in the startup industry, I've been in the design industry, in the tech, you know, I've been here, but I still have so much to learn as a designer and also as a co-founder. So granted, my co-founder complements me in a lot of ways and vice versa, but there are so many people there from successful companies that can be learned from. So I think that's something that I really try to do often. And looking back, if I had to change anything, I'm not sure. I really am not sure, because I mean, anything that I kind of categorize as a mistake was, you know, ended up as being a lesson learned.
Yeah.
And I've used that to apply to other areas. So yeah.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kat, for coming on here.
And, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Of course. Where can we follow you online and keep up with the developments of Liberio?
Oh, man. You can follow me on Twitter at I'm Kat Noon. And you can follow Liberio at Liberio app. And of course,
and what's the domain? Yeah.
For Liberio, it's liber.io.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you haven't yet, pop open iTunes and subscribe to be notified of future episodes. We have some really great ones lined up.
And while you're there, leave us a review. We really appreciate each and every one of them. We got some spunk in my bunk. I can't wait to put some soul in. We're rolling all strikes. We're having little fights. One is little Mike. The other's like, I'm sure that you would like to hold them. Or maybe stole them on the little bikes when they're born. I've sworn to bring them up bright. You know, dope is how I breed them. Beats is what I feed them. They'll be healthy like a health nut. I'm sure you shake your butt. Keep the vibration. And I won't disperse. Here's my life rhyme. I'll end up a better or for worse. When it's done, she tagged me. Duck, duck, goose, I'm batter up. I can't sleep. The fly brother must produce a power pack. Then I'm stacked like a 45 mag. Sweatshirt and tennis shoes in my pants. There's a sag. Dropping so much gram, I gotta slam it down my mouth. Shut, I met a slut. She put me in the rutgie with the dip that was down with me from the home front. Now front me never too cool. However, I got